So then we go to the next part. The next part is the namto thorwa, which is to throw away the discursive thoughts or the conceptions that we have. So this one is presented how to do it in a brief manner and in the detailed manner. So the brief manner is sambashen kundante dala sambachi buyi semne nyambar shaje na dhuwa shaje chumbar cha. What it means is oneself is concerned with the bodhicitta, and oneself is concerned in the methods whereby one can enrich the bodhicitta, and this thought only is something that one is concerned with. And because of this thought only, one should make a joyous effort to bring one's mind first to be placed in balance through the calm abiding meditation, and then with the special insight of vipassana, in order to actually subdue that mindset. So therefore one need to make an effort, a joyous effort, so that one's bodhicitta can be increased, and that is the main concern in the mind of the bodhisattvas. But as a way of doing it, one first, in order to place one's mind at a balance or an even state, one relies upon the calm abiding meditation, and then in order to further subdue the mind, so one relies upon the special insight. So then the bodhisattva says that I should be joyful and enthusiasm about these things. Now this one goes into detail how to do it. Now this detail meditation is quite an interesting meditation, and we need to have a perspective that in those days and the text was composed by a monk, so there's lots of a perspective of a monk in this. And so it is related to when it comes to letting go of conceptions, and the first thing that is to let go of discursive thoughts related to the desire, because there is the desire, and it is the world that we live is called desire realm, and the desire is in all sentient beings. Even the little insects and everything have desire in them. So therefore, a bodhisattva wanting to attain the perfect state of enlightenment needs to abandon the discursive thoughts related to desire, because one is so engrossed and involved in the desire, so then one is not able to progress. So therefore, and the first part is inducing a sense of sadness or sorrowness about the things and existence related to the desire. And so that is a sense of sadness. And then there is an inducing a sense of joyfulness in like a secluded place or a mind state that does not have like discursive thoughts. So there is two meditation. Now the first one, which is to induce a sense of sadness to the desire, there is three meditation or three points mentioned. The first one is inducing a sense of sadness in regard to desire by being fearful of the outcome of the desire. And then the second one is one is actually looking at the uncleanness nature, of the objects of desire. Usually one is not able to see the unclean aspect. So the meditator is encouraged to reflect on the uncleanness nature of the objects of desire. And then the third one is analyzing that the causes of desire actually leads to harm. So the first one, it says, the first one is to looking at the outcome, fearful outcome of desire. says that in this life as well as in the next life, yeah, devanamni, the desires, you know, the desires can deprive you of wondrous things, yeah, can lead to that. And not only that, due to the desire in this lifetime, there is lots of killing, for example, and there is lots of imprisonment or tying of people, yeah, and there is lots of cutting of limbs of the people. And due to these actions, then it leads to be born or to experience the outcome of like miserable existence such as hell realm and so on. So therefore, in particular, the sutra that is given to a particular girl by the Buddha, it says that the desire, the wheel of desire, can cut you down as well as cut you into pieces. The wheel of desire can take out the head from the human body as well as the eyes and the hands and the legs. Yeah? Due to the desirous attachment, the sentient beings fall into the lower rebirth such as hell realm. And due to the desire, one actually is led into the miserable existence such as hungry ghost as well as animal realms. And also in the Sutra Gojachar Roba, it says, the Buddha says that I have seen all the faults of desire. Yeah? Due to the desire, there is lots of fight and argument. There is lots of conflict. There is lots of sorrow. Desire is the very root of suffering. One should be fearful of desire. It's like the poisonous leaf. And also desire is like the fire. It can just engulf and burn you down. Desire is like the very sharp blade of the sword. So it is mentioned by the Buddha. Now the second one is looking into the nature of the uncleanness. So this one is is looking from the perspective of it is like similar to something that does not have life in it. Yeah, this will become clearer. And then analyzing the persons or people who are living, analyzing them, and then understanding the unclean nature. So this one is not true. We need to know very well, because sometimes people are disturbed. This one is only intended to assist the meditator to prevent giving rise to desirous attachment, because it can lead. So therefore, but it is really presented from the perspective of a monk, and it is, so therefore it sometimes can be, you know, but it's not like many people can have issue with this kind of meditation. Now, so the Tawa Dan Tsungpa is like as if it does not have a life inside it. Yeah. So this is just giving or comparing to something that does not have life in it. Yeah. Objects of desire. Now the first one have 6 points. The first one is tegje chwe meba. Here, it does not have something to really lift it up. It's referring to when someone gets married in India, then the woman wears the veils. No, so then he wants to see the beautiful face of his wife. So then he just go like this, and you know, she's shy like this. You know, so. Shanti Deva is, there's actually nothing to do like this, you know, and nothing to do like this, yeah. So they, and this is very interesting, I think in the old days, they send messenger to the house of the girl, whoever he wants to marry, and the messengers can be male as well as female. Through the messenger, in the past, you know, with a particular female, in order so that you can meet her, you have made supplication many times through messengers. Oh, go and please request, no? And maybe. And then also, even if it is sin or negative action that you have to do, you did not hesitate to do a negative action for the sake of desire. And also, for the sake of this, you know, even if your life itself is to come under danger, you even risk it, no? So you have engaged in that way. Not only will that, but also even if you have some money or whatever, even you are happy to, you know, lose some money or whatever, and the thing But now it's referring to a female, yeah? Or from a female meditator perspective, it can be a man, no? Yeah? The thing that you actually embrace and you are very happy, no? It's like a skeleton, no? It's like a skeleton, yeah? So therefore, now if it is the object of desire is already maybe married, you know, then you actually do not have control because someone is married to someone else, no? So therefore, even if you really like them, no, it's not into your control, no? And then if it is your own partner, then your partner actually does not exist inherently, no? So there is not actually very much, yeah? So it is compared to something that does not have life, meaning it's compared to a skeleton, no? If you really look into it, it is. So therefore, and to such an object, you know, you are completely like attached, you know? And if why are you so completely attached to something that does not have actually the quality to be lifted up and so on, no? Instead of doing this, why don't you just go to the state of nirvana, no? It's much better for you to do. So this is the first example. And and with such an existence of desire, yes. And then the second one is shembe tawar merikpa. Shembe tawar merikpa is now when someone is very attached, you know, they look with lots of longing and craving, you know, to the object of attachment. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, it's so beautiful, so nice, you know. So, and this is what we normally do. But when it is analyzed, it's not really worth, you know, looking at it in that way. That's what it is telling us. Yeah? So, kanshi thangbor bedetek. Thangjang mose woduta. The face, you know, you make an effort to see it, no? Bedetek is you make an effort and lift it up. No? Mm-hmm. Even if you lift it up, no? She is so embarrassed, like shy, she go down like this, no? She not let you. Let you look, no? When you thong am matonya, whether you have seen her face in the past or not, no? No, she covers her face with the veils, no? Quickly don yogar jurus. And so this particular action of lifting the face and then covering it with the veil is very popularly done in the central of India in those days, you know. So this is in accordance with that. Kantawar dune, the face that you want to see, and then you also become mentally afflicted, you know. That very face now actually at the cemetery, yeah, it is not even covered, no, it is there, no, and exposed for you to see, no, and when you are seeing it, it is like now eaten by the birds such as eagle and so on, no, and then why are you so afraid of this very face that you so loved and you really wanted to look at it? Now it's not even covered. It's lifeless, it's there, you know. And now you are afraid, you know. Oh, this ghost or whatever, you know. Why are you like this? So therefore, there is actually nothing to be looked at it with such an attachment. You know? If this is the case, then you could have the similar thing when it is laying bare there. The same face is there, it's not even covered. So therefore, it's saying these things are not needed. And that, yeah?
Mean like the conscience, you could contemplate when the person is there as though they had died, they don't have a life in them really, or sorry.
Yeah, it is so non tawa dong tsung ba is it is similar as if they are not living. Because in the thinking, you know, when they are living, usually you look at them.
And you want to see the beauty.
Yeah.
And they're waiting to see them.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's so beautiful.
Now to help you to reduce that kind of attachment, you are encouraged to look at it as if it does not have the life in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how would it be like? You know? So therefore, there's not really much thing to look into it.
Yeah.
And then the third one is the protecting with jealousy. Yeah? Takdogi sungwa mirikpa is inappropriate to try to protect it with jealousy. So if it is your wife or your girlfriend, if other male, you know, they don't do anything, if they just look at it with their eyes, you know, you are the one who just trying to protect it, that very body. When that very body is getting eaten by the what do you call it, the eagle and so on, then you miser being, why are you not protecting it now? Because you are so miser, if someone is just looking and you're really like trying to protect, you know, and jealous, you know, now it is getting eaten by the eagles and so on, and the jackals or whatever, why are you not protecting it, no? Or guarding it. Now the fourth one is kubir chibar mirikpa, is with so much devotion or respect, something like that, you make offerings of flowers and so on to such an object of, you know, desire. But it's not really that suitable or appropriated to do this. It's saying that shai pungpo did tong ne, when seeing this aggregate of the flesh, yeah, the eagles and the others are actually eating it. Yeah? Eagle and the jackals and so on eating it. So then why are you actually making flowers and so on offering to the food of someone else? Yeah? It's like if you are to meditate, if you are to think, when you are making flower and, you know, giving flower or sandalwood and so on, anointed and so on, you are doing. But it is not worth doing. Saying it's like worshipping or doing something to something that is just a food, no, of bird and so on. And then the fifth one is gave regbar mirikpa, like touching with like joyfulness, you know, touching like this, no. So it is not really very much into it. It says, "Tudutu rugoni du toni ne migu yani kudona." In the cemetery or charnel ground, yeah, when you see, it's like a ball of skeleton. Yeah, even though if it is not moving, you are scared, you are afraid of it. Yeah, and when it is living, it's like a zombie going everywhere. No, yeah. Even a small thought can make it move like a zombie going everywhere. No, why are you not afraid now? No. So if you are too afraid of a skeleton that is there, it's not even moving. No, people say, "Oh, I'm afraid. You know, it's dead." You know, then why are you not afraid when it's actually like a zombie just running everywhere? No. So therefore, there's not really very much to like joyfully touch in it. And then the sixth one is with attachment, you know, the hugging or embracing, you know. It does not have, it says, something that is covered with skin, yeah. So you are attached to it. But when it is uncovered with the skin, you know, why do you not want it? If you say, "I do not," the one that does not have skin have no purpose or no use, you know. If you say that, then why are you hugging with the skin on it anyway? It says. So this is basically here. The teaching is to abandon the discursive thoughts of desirous attachment. You know? Because we find a reason to have like a desirous attachment, and so therefore, it is saying, it's actually when you really think about it and compare it, it is like this. So therefore it is giving like a method how to drop the desirous attachment. Now then analyzing the one with the life. Yeah? Earlier comparing with the lifeless, now with the life, yeah? And then analyzing it. and then understanding that it is like a nature of uncleanliness. Yeah? So this one is divided into three parts. The first one is actually looking, it is actual unclean. And then getting the certainty with the reasoning. And then the third one is even refuting the signs of cleanliness in it. So therefore it's the object. The first one, mitsamam nundu jurba, the actual uncleanliness, yeah, itself is divided into two. So it says that mitsam vichadala chabba merikba is the specific unclean, specific things. It's not worth getting attached to. And then looking down on those who are confused and getting attached, or looking down or saying, well, man, it's not, you know, it's not how you should be doing. Yeah? So the first one, mitsam vichheta, the specific aspects of uncleanliness have three parts. One is the saliva, yeah? The saliva. The second is the touch, and then the third one is the flesh. Yeah? So therefore, stopping to have attachment to the saliva, and then stopping to have attachment to the touch, and then stopping to have attachment to the flesh. The first one, if you are to say that I like his or her saliva, if you say, then it says the cause of the saliva is the food. Yeah, from food, the saliva as well as the excrement and the urine comes. No, both of these come from the food. Yeah, no. Then among these two, why do you not like the urine, you know, and why you say that you like the saliva? Yeah? So maybe it is referring to kissing or whatever, you know. So therefore, it is not like appropriate. Now the second one is the touch. If you have to say that the touch is very soft and very nice, I like this, you know, then it says, shingbal regna jamba yinye la gawa michepar. No, a pillow, no, that is made of very nice cotton. Yeah? When you touch, it's so smooth. Yeah? And you don't like such a pillow. And you say, you complain that this pillow actually does not give dirty smell. No? Yeah? And why are you so... if you talk about the touch is smooth, then you can have attachment to the pillow. No, it's very nice and made of cotton and clean. Instead, why you are attached to the touch of something that is unclean? Yeah? And says some people who are so strongly attached and so like unclear, you know, they say, oh, this shingbal regna jambalang, they complain about even the pillow, you know, that if you touch it is very soft and smooth and so on. You say it's not good enough to give you sleep. No, they complain. No? And then sometimes they are very angry with the pillow and then they throw them away. No? So then it is saying it is not attachment to the touch. It's an attachment to what is unclean. Khade mizamwala chabwa menas. If it is not attachment to something that is unclean, then it says the body, you know, is like has the bone as well as other things, you know, and then there is like a mud, like almost like a mud of flesh put together, and then you bring it up and then hold it, you know, like that. It's actually unclean, you know? And then you yourself have many aspects of uncleanliness in you, and you always engage in this one, as well as you engage in unclean, you know, that is the other person, you know. Why do you like something that is unclean? So this one is not to say that it is, you know, bad thing or whatever. It's just trying to give a perspective. If someone is really having a strong attachment, and if that is the biggest obstacle for them, then such method is helpful for them to block it away or to see through it. You know? So therefore, these are advice given by the Bodhisattva. It's not like, you know, it's... criticizing the aspects of male or female. It's just a method of helping to counteract or get rid of the desirous attachment. And then the third one is shala chava gava, is the stopping the attachment to the flesh. dāne shingba nā sō la mīgāyī shādi la gāwō shēshā la rēkwa tā dāwār dāna sē mēdī la shīngi shāni. You say, I don't like the cotton and so on, no? I like this flesh, no? Then it says, then it is like sē mēdī la shīngi shāni tūgō. Then why don't you have a flesh that does not have consciousness in it, no? If you really like the flesh, and you can just have a flesh on its own without consciousness, no? If you say, oh, it does not have consciousness, so I don't want, no? Kdebe sem khaan imba teni regja dan sugma imbe regwa dan tawar miba ma inla. The desiring mind, no, the desiring mind is not like a touch. The desiring mind is not a form, no? It is not touchable as well as the desiring mind is not seeable. No? Kanji rabba dan tawar nube luteni sheba mimbe. And then the something that you can touch and you can see, that body is not consciousness. So therefore, a body that does not have essence, no? Why are you so busy hugging it or embracing it? And then people who are so into desired, the world of desire, is not necessarily a bad thing from maybe the sutras of desire, no? Maybe in the sutras of desire, the desire is highly praised, no? The desire is highly praised. It says that this is the desire realm. Everybody has a desire realm. The sutra of desire says, you know, even the Buddhas cannot be born without desire, no? They also in the sutra of desire realm. But this one we need to know, it's a shastra. This is teaching how to meditate on the uncleanliness. So therefore it is focusing in that way. So it's certainly not saying it's inherently unclean. It's just a matter of helping the mindset to approach it. Because in the Sutra of Desire, no, they praise the desire. Praise. That even the great masters of Tibet is not possible if there is no desire. And also they praise. So therefore in here, now in here, the person who is completely taken by desire and so that person is looked in that way. Meza rashin shengi lu. The nature is unclean, and that is the body of other. Yeah? And then meza wa mitok basam yang wasar miche. You are not amazed that you are not able to see how clean, unclean it is. No? You yourself also unclean, and you do not realize it. This is like amazing. This is amazing. Like this is almost impossible. How you can? And then it says, even though there are aspects of uncleanliness in the body, but the body has nice color, nice shape, it has nice smell, nice touch. No, so due to these aspects, the color, the shape, the taste, the touch, due to this, and if you say, I have attachment, then it says, if you are about touch, color, and so on, then why don't you have attachment to a flower? No? It says, like a very young lotus, no, which is opened by the sun rays, no, the sun that is also unobscured by the clouds. So the sun, its rays help to open this youthful lotus. No? This youthful lotus have beautiful color, shape, you know, touch, and so on. Why are you, you know, avoiding such? No? Because your mind is so attached to something that is uncleanliness, therefore you are liking something like this. Now the reasons, the supporting reasons for this, is there is the cause and effect, and the actions and the examples to show that this is certainly unclean. The first one is the cause and effect perspective. It is unclean. There is the actual presentation from the perspective of cause and result. It is unclean. And then saying it is wrong. No, it is it's like insulting or saying not nice things about people still getting attached. So the first one says, it is a cause of uncleanliness. It says, if a place like an earth, no, if someone excrete there or urinate there, then this place is soiled with uncleanliness. Yeah? Such a place, if you do not even want to touch, yeah? And then the very place from where the excrement and the urine come out, why do you want to touch such a place from where it comes from? No? So there, from the perspective of cause, it is unclean. And from the perspective of result, if you do not have attachment to something that is unclean, then it says, mizamishing, the very field of the unclean, which is the very womb of the mother, from where it has come from. And then the very unclean, the seeds, is the father and mother's two elements. Yeah? From these it is produced. And not only that, the person who ever brought it up, you know, have given the food, you know, they have eaten and then given it into the mouth of the child. You know? So therefore, a body that is produced by uncleanliness. You know? And why do you bring such a body that is the result of uncleanliness on your lap? If a small insects, if the small insects are coming out of such as urine and excrement, you know, if you say even the small tiny ones, you know, you don't want them, it's so dirty, you know, then the whole body, why do you want, when it is filled with so much of those small insects, why do you want it? So therefore, and then it is it's like it is wrong to, if you are to so attached to such an unclean thing, then it is like it is wrong. So if one is to say, even though that is the case, you know, I am also like this, you know, so why I can't do this? So therefore it says it is like the nujin na dorma. There are certain spirits who are like harm causer. So those spirits are given some special food offering. You know? So if it is like this, even though that thing is maybe unclean as you describe it, I myself am also unclean. So therefore there is no harm or nothing wrong. No, I can still engage in it. It is like if there is a torma, it is dedicated, the harmful spirit will consume it. And then it says, if you agree that you yourself is unclean, then you can say, look, I'm unclean. And you need to actually know that this is unclean, and you can look down upon yourself as unclean. You are not doing that. On top of that, something that is unclean, you are desiring this also. No? So this one is inappropriate. So these are all the talks of the monks.
It's obviously written by a man, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And but this one, it's of course the Shantideva have written it and the commentary and so on. But it's if we are to look at it from the context of practice, then we can understand. Otherwise, it can be a bit of a challenge. And then chilegi mizamangye, but from the perspective of its activity, you know, it's certain. Whatever nice food, you know, food that you have eaten or vegetables, even though they are clean, you have eaten them. Yeah? But when you vomit this one, even the very earth you consider is dirty. You know? So then this body is no need to say it is dirty. So then the unclean aspect is presented with example. Even though this body is unclean for sure, but still if you have doubt about it, then you should go to the cemetery or charnel ground and you look at the body, you know, that is unclean. And when you look at it in this way, and then when you analyze, when you actually take the skin off, you know, then you will see and you will have a great sense of fear. You know? And even though that is the case, you know, again, why are you going back into it and having so much joy? And then if you say, okay, but there are aspects that is clean about it, yeah? And there is three. Shengi yundengi lula chapa merikpa. It say, oh, there are aspects of cleanliness to it, therefore it is okay or it's alright for me to have attachment. Rangi ngowo chane mayimpa. And its real nature is not an object of attachment. And then the third one is telangawal mirikpa. It is inappropriate for you to have joy out of it. The first one, it says, Sengi yendengi lula chabar merigma, not to inappropriate to have attachment to the body for the quality of something else's. It says even the very fragrant smell that comes from sandalwood and so on, that is anointed on the body, and then if you say you are attached to it because of the good smell, and it says this smell that is anointed on the body, this smell belongs to the sandalwood, does not belong to the body. So therefore, why are you attached to a body, you know, for a quality that does not belong to the body? And if you are to say, look, I am attached to the smell, then this body is by nature, very smelly. So therefore, maybe it is better for you not to have attachment to the body. And the samsaric beings who crave for something that does not have substance, now why do they anoint like good smell to this body? And if you say, even though by nature it is not good smell, but when you anoint something, it becomes good smell, so therefore I am attached to it. If you say this, then that good smell actually is the smell of the sandalwood. From this body, there is no great smell coming out of it. It does not have. Because it does not have, why are you attached to something else for the quality of something else? And then the object of desire, by its own nature, it is not a place of attachment. If we are not to fix the nature of this body, then the hair can grow very long, and also the nails, they can grow very long, and if you are not to clean your teeth, it's very dirty, it will become lots of smell. And it is like something that is anointed with like a mud of smell already, and naked and very fearful, and it is if you are to clean it, it is like the very weapon that is going to harm you. You are cleaning this one, so why are you doing this? Tela gawar meripa is it is inappropriate for you to have like joy out of it. Kema dagi lui mizam wala mumbe wangi is oh or alas, due to the influence of myself getting confused in the body which is unclean, and putting effort, like an effort for no use, such as cleaning and so on, is maddened by afflictions. This whole earth, is just like a busy, and such an activity prevails here. Even these people, when they see the skeleton, the piles of skeleton in the cemetery or at the charnel ground, and then they have a different reaction to it. And due to their motivation, and this skeleton, the pile of skeleton that is actually moving, why are you so attached to the town of a cemetery where there is lots of movement going on? Now the third one is now from the perspective of the causes, how it can harmful, there is a B presentation as well as the detailed presentation. So such an object of attachment, that object of attachment also, if you do not have money, you will not be able to have it. So therefore, in order to have the object of attachment, then you accumulate lots of wealth to the point that your body is so tired. And also, in the next life, you might be tormented by the suffering of hell realm and so on. Now going into detail, there is not even time very much for you to actually enjoy the pleasure of attachment. And also the second one is, it is also connected with other faults. The first one is, when you are little, at that time you are not able to increase your wealth and so on. So therefore, if you are not able to, when you are little, then when you are young, you cannot actually obtain that pleasure. And then when you try to accumulate the wealth, and you spend a lot of time, and then you become old. When you have wealth, when you are old, what is the use of desire for you? At that time, you are not even able to enjoy it. And then some desirous person who thinking that they work whole day and then when they come home, they are so tired. And then they sleep like a corpse. And they are not able to actually engage in the sensual pleasures. And some even following like that, they become very deluded. Some even go very far from their own country, and they are so sad, because even though they want their son and their wife and so on, but they are not able to see them for a long time. So no need to mention that they can have the pleasure of desire. And then the other faults related to this one is, there are six of them. The first one is the experience of suffering of physical kind. Dala pembar dola, you wish benefit to yourself, but however you are confused about the method to bring benefit. So therefore, for the sake of the livelihood of your child and your wife and so on, you sell your whole body. And until you reach, you get that, there is no benefit to yourself. So therefore, you are basically moved by the air of karma. And so therefore, in this life as well as in the next life, you experience lots of physical suffering. Certain beings, they send their whole body as a servant of others, and they do not really enjoy any independence. They are used as a slave and servant. And then in such a situation, if they are to meet some wife and if they have a child, then they do not have a place to live. So therefore, they have to end up making a nest in some way under a tree or at a place that is like empty. So in that way, they experience lots of suffering. People who are swindled by the desire, they want the livelihood, and they even go to the war, and thinking that I go to the war, then I can bring some livelihood. They even know in their mind that they might even lose their life, but they even go into the war. For the sake of some profits, they even go and become the slave and the servant of others. And some due to the influence of desire, they even cut their hands and so on. And some due to this activity of desire and so on, they are actually put on. They are killed and they are, they are attacked by spears and that are even burned. And the engaging in desire also prevents you from the opportunity for liberation. It says there is the accumulation part, and then there is the fear of losing it, and then there is the whole experience of trying to protect. So all of these are caused, so therefore one should know that wealth is the cause of lots of deprivation. If a person is so attached to the wealth and so on, that person, it says, that does not have an opportunity to be liberated from the suffering of samsara. Sumbanyemingpe tembani. Now the examples through which the falls is shown. Deden namla ngar shepe telasope nyeming mangla. The desirous person have all the falls that is mentioned earlier, and they have benefit is very small. It's like the example of a cow or an ox pulling the cart. They're pulling the cart, but it's a very difficult, And then they get to eat like a mouth of grass. Yeah, it's like that situation. And if you are to engage in this one, your precious human life is also wasted. And it says even the animals such as, you know, cow and so can enjoy such a pleasure, you know. And it's even the easy for the animal to enjoy such a pleasure for such a fruitless and small amount of benefit. You know, someone even waste their whole precious human life. This precious human life that have the potential and the capacity to obtain the perfect state of enlightenment, you know, due to their previous karma and due to their lost in what is to be obtained and what is to be abandoned, you know, they waste this precious human life. And then the fifth one is even their suffering has no fruit, no purpose. The nature of the desire itself is will be gone, you know? And not only that, and due to the desirous attachment, whatever the activities, one will be fall into the miserable existence. So for such a benefit, something that is not even a greater purpose. And for that purpose, always caught up in the suffering and a big trouble. If you have so much, and if you are to only put maybe the million less from it, you will be actually able to obtain the Buddhahood. So the desired person have more suffering in engaging in the desirous attachment, and with that they are not even able to obtain the perfect state of enlightenment. And their suffering is beyond example. The fruit of the desire, when you think about the suffering in the hell realm or the miserable existence, you know, even the weapon is not good enough example to show the severity of the desire. Even the poison, even the big fire or the ravine, or even the enemies cannot be a suited example to show the negative aspects of the desire. And then the second one here, this is the part of abandoning the discursive thoughts and mainly desirous attachment. Now, meditation to induce a sense of joyfulness of a mental state that is free of such discursive thoughts. The first one is, thus have a sense of sadness about the desire and the whole story, and then you should have a joyfulness with regard to the secluded or solitariness. And this one is presented in the detailed manner. The first one is Prisumsobekebar. Prisumsobekebar is the specific qualities of how great and amazing it is. The outer argument as well as the inner mental affliction. Not both of them are not there. It's peaceful. And then there is no fear of thief and robbers, you know, in the forest. And the fortunate bodhisattva. Fortunate bodhisattva ponders like this. For example, a king in his special house, you know, which is anointed with the sandal wood. And also, you know, enter the bodhisattva in the forest where there is maybe this huge rock, you know, huge rock, and that rock is cooled by the light of the moon. And in such a place, and the king is wearing, having this nice special, like a fan, you know, and the bodhisattva is fanned with the beautiful air of the forest. And the king is thinking about the benefit of his subject, and the bodhisattva is thinking about how best the bodhisattva can help all sentient beings, and with this in their mind, then the bodhisattva move around in the secluded place just as the king does it. And then the special happiness about it is in the empty houses next to a tree or even inside the cave, until whatever time, you know, you want, you can just sit there. And in there, there is no grasping or clinging to the sensorial qualities. And also no need to worry about protecting it. So there is no suffering of such. And then there is not like expectation. No, you can just be yourself completely. Just as you want, you can do. And without any attachment to any objects or name or fame, and without any kind of connection with ordinary people, you have a great sense of contentment, and you enjoy great happiness. Such a bliss and happiness, even the king of the god cannot obtain such a bliss. And then, so therefore, this point, when we talk about the joyfulness in relation to the secluded, this part is a seclusion of the mind, it's not the physical. Earlier it is a secluded place of, and in here it is talking about the secluded, the solitary state of the mind. And then for the something, now the second part is over, which is the mithun chopanwa, the opposing factors abandoned. Now meditating upon the supporting factors. How are we going with time?
5 to 1. Should we have lunch at 1 o'clock?
It's 1 now.
Oh, 1 o'clock now.
I think so.
Yeah.
Have lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that alright? It's not too early.
Yeah.
About halfway through the chapter, aren't we?
Yeah, we're pretty going pretty fast.
Because from here it's actually commentary is actually more from here onwards.
Yeah, but we've got tomorrow.
Yes, we have tomorrow. So we should have a break now.
Yeah. So for how long? 1 hour? Just
yeah. 1 hour is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have 1 hour lunch break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if anyone wants to go for a walk, there's quite a nice walk down the road or something too.
Now is the starting of the talk about bodhicitta.
Oh.
From here we talk about the antidote. Antidotes, the bodhicitta, the...
He's very kind of, you know, like ruthlessly sort of just denouncing everything, isn't he? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really
yeah.
quite... it is confronting, actually,
yeah.
Especially when he was talking about the baby being a maggot, I thought that was just...
Which
I
baby?
I think that's what he was talking about.
No.
The maggots,
oh.
Wasn't he?
No.
He was saying, hang on, I have no wish for a small dirty maggot.
Is it they're all inside
which
us?
Which arise from the
insects?
Unclean field of a womb, which are produced... Yeah. Interesting.
But I think it's... I mean, I know it's a tricky point, but it seems to me that although this is the view of a monk, and so the example of the woman is used.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's equally appropriate for a woman, and we could.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's
a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too, you know,
yes.
That's
exactly.
Exactly right.
That's what I'm saying, because you know, this is something that can be. From the perspective of male as well as female, no? It's for the meditator. So if they have, like people have, some people have issues with lots of anger, no? And some people have issues of lots of attachment. Some people have issues of lots of discursive thoughts. So then for the people who have lots of issues with desirous attachment, they are encouraged to look at the unclean aspects. And then people who have lots of issues with anger, then this meditation does not apply to them. No? They then meditate on loving kindness and so on. The people who have lots of thoughts, then they try to focus on and counting the breath. Because when you count the breath, no, then you're deliberately engaging with the breath, so the thoughts actually go a bit down.
So it's skillful means, developing the skillful means to know where you're at in terms of all those different things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this one, addressed, the desire is addressed very strongly.
Mm.
Because according to Buddhist explanation, the world that we belong to is the desire realm.
Mm.
It's a realm of desire. And the desire is present in everything.
Mm.
In human being, the insects, the animals, everyone.
Mm.
So therefore for a meditator, one of the main things, you know, can be is a strong desire that they can have. And usually then the desire is due to the object of, you know, this or due to this and that. So therefore then trying to break it down.
It's like I better run to my, you know, plastic surgeon's appointment because I'm getting my nose done, you know.
Yeah.
Like in our society, people have got a real problem with this desirous attachment to their body.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's now thinking they can pay money to make their bodies look like celebrities and stars and things.
Mm.
It's absolute, that desirous attachment is very strong to the body.
Yeah, very strong.
Mm.
There is something that needs to be done. Then there is overdoing, isn't it? There is something that needs to be done. You need to feed the body. You need to clothe the body also for you to remain and exist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, to contribute and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But then when this purpose is not in the perspective, you know, then something else comes in. And then there is the over-emphasizing and so on. You know.
Easy to get unbalanced.
Yeah.
So it helps create renunciation, really, doesn't it?
Yes. And this problem is not just a problem of a monk.
No.
The problem of desire is the, you know, problem of lay person as well as monks, no? The male as well as the female.
Yeah.
No?
Yes.
It's a universal problem.
Mm.
But at that particular time, somehow the object of attachment, because the monks are in retreat or monks are doing this and that, and the distraction for them can be like a female, no? Or woman.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore it's put like that.
Mm-hmm.